Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Okay, it's time for the riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larry M.
I want to thank you for coming out to the studios today, braving this pre-Thanksgiving snowstorm here in New York City. Yeah, so appreciate that.
Yeah, the nor'easter, but that does not keep us from our appointed rounds.
That's right, and we won't have to move to Detroit to broadcast the riot like they had to do Monday night in moving the game from Buffalo, yeah. Right? Which, ironically enough, is now being flooded, Buffalo, because they had, what, like 10, 12 feet of snow in some areas, yeah, and now it's all melting?
It's melting, and then the worst part is it's melting, and they're getting all the water, and then they're going to get more snow now.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is the riot. Let's do a little bit of quick, what, Judo Larian?
Pimping,
bitch. Let you know where you can find us. This is The Riot. You can find us on thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. You could also find us on iTunes. You could find us on Twitter. You can go to YouTube, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker.com, Podomatic, basically Player.fm. You could check us out there. Basically, anywhere great podcasts are heard, you will find The Riot. So just search for That Riot Show. You'll find us on just about every platform you could conceivably think of when it comes to podcasting. And Judo Larry M., how appropriate that we call ourselves The Riot, because this week it seems like a couple of people may have taken inspiration from us and are in the middle of quite the riot of their own.
Yeah, so this week, riot is spelled F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N. Bitches.
I thought it was going to be S-A-V-A-G-E-S.
Hey, that's even better. Wow, nice. Nicely played.
Yes, we're talking about Ferguson right now.
The fact that there are no businesses left in Ferguson.
Jesus. Anyway, so as I'm sure everyone in America has heard one way or another, the decision of the grand jury in Ferguson, Missouri, regarding Officer Darren Wilson, failed to come back with an indictment, Judo Lariam.
I wouldn't call it failed, but yes, but they decided 9 white Americans and 3 African Americans decided not to indict.
Right. So there's no indictment, which in the eyes of the community means that it's time to riot.
It's time to riot, but
it's time to be savage thugs. And notice, this is not MSNBC. This is not CNN. I refuse to call what's going on in Ferguson protests. These aren't protests, ladies and gentlemen. Right.
This is not a concern for civil rights.
No.
As I told somebody the other day who got very upset with me, I said, this is not Rosa Parks. This is not Medgar Evans. This is not people who stood for something, who I respect, quite frankly.
Yes.
And Martin Luther King Jr., who faced down like rednecks and their attack dogs.
Right.
And all stuff like that, and fought for something, and they didn't loot and destroy. This is an excuse just to destroy things.
Now, and to steal.
And to steal and to destroy businesses and just to take stuff and be violent and crazy.
Absolutely. And in some ways, leading up to this, first of all, I will say one thing. So let's talk about the lack of an indictment, first of all.
Okay.
And this has been said in other places, but I have to emphasize it. The people who are upset are really people who formed an opinion before all the facts came in.
Oh, the first day.
Right. So when you look, and in a very unusual move, I will say this, the prosecutor has released and made public all the evidence that was presented to the grand jury.
Right.
So there's no secrets here. People, if you have the time and you're of the right mindset, you can go and read and look at all the evidence that was presented to the grand jury. Here's the thing. When you look at the evidence, it becomes very obvious what happened. First of all, the police officer, Darren Wilson, now the grand jury found out this out. He knew that Michael Brown was the suspect in a robbery. He knew that. He didn't happen upon Michael Brown and his friend walking in the street. He saw it. He saw Michael Brown. He looked at his description. He called it in, Drew O'Larian.
Right.
There's the radio transmission saying, I have someone who fits the description.
Right.
He called for backup. Okay? So when he approached Michael Brown, it was with the knowledge that he was a criminal, a thug. Okay? And it's very obvious also from the forensics and the testimony that Michael Brown basically assaulted the officer.
Right.
Reached through the open window of the police cruiser.
Punched him.
And punched him and tried to get his gun. The gun went off inside the car and shot Michael Brown in the hand. And you could find, they found blood of Michael Brown in the car and on the car door.
We also know that when he reached through, and the cop said something to the effect of, like, stop, and I'll shoot you. He said, you're too much of a pussy to shoot me.
Oh, okay, so...
And that came out, too.
Yeah, and that, I'm assuming, is Officer Wilson's testimony, but, you know, even if you think Wilson's a liar, the physical evidence is he didn't shoot him from 150 feet away. He didn't shoot him while the kid was with his hands up on his knees saying, please don't shoot me. Like, so when you see all these so-called protesters in Ferguson or in Times Square with their hands up in the air saying, don't shoot me. Well, yeah, that's a nice sentiment. But guess what? It has nothing to do with Michael Brown.
It has nothing to do with reality.
Right. Okay. Michael Brown was a thug. And people say, well, why did he shoot him from 150 feet, 200 feet away? No, the car was 150, 200 feet away. The officer, once Michael Brown was shot and started to run away, did what police officers do. He chased him. He was trying to apprehend him.
Right.
And it's somewhere along the line, Michael Brown either got tired or decided it wasn't worth trying to run away, turned around and decided to bum rush the officer. And that's when he got shot in the head.
That's right. I mean, I heard Officer Wilson's account. I saw a brief snippet of his interview with George Stephanopoulos. And I mean, quite frankly, it relates itself to something that I said a few weeks back, or when we first talked about
this. What was that?
Well, that I absolutely believe the account that I had heard that he attacked a police officer.
Right.
And that certainly seems to be the case now. Again, if you don't believe the police officer, that's fine.
Right.
But it definitely looks like he was fresh off stealing those cigars from that store.
Right.
And the policeman, obviously doing his job, accosted him, and he attacked him. And
right.
I believe that.
And what's interesting here is, even some of the witnesses who claim that the officer shot him in cold blood and shot him while the kid's hands were up in the air, when confronted with the autopsy evidence, they recanted.
Right.
They basically said, we made it up.
Yep.
Now, not every witness, let me be fair, not every witness recanted their story.
No, no.
But a lot of them did when confronted with the facts.
Right. And also we're confronted with, look, this is perjury. This you could get into trouble for doing this because they said one of the agents who were questioning them just said, look, you don't make shit up just because you don't like the cops and you want to see them get into trouble. He goes, tell us what really happened here. And then, you get started getting a little waffling and then some of them recanted.
Well, not only that, but what's interesting is, and the media, of course, who are scumbags in this whole matter, we can talk about them in a second.
Awful.
But basically, they never let the people know what police officers knew, and what the grand jury heard was there were a lot of African Americans who sided with the police officer's account.
Right.
It wasn't like every white man who was a witness sided with the officer and every black man or black person sided with the Michael Brown side of the account. There were several African Americans who stood up and said, no, the officer was attacked. This huge thug tried to take his gun and beat him up in his car. And if you stop and think about it, what police officer attempts to arrest someone by dragging him into his vehicle?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And at one point, Officer Wilson said that he had been hit in the head twice by Michael Brown, and that he felt that if he got hit a third time, he would, he was in danger of having his eyes shut, and that the kid was going for the gun. Now, the other thing that I think people forget is, at one point, Officer Wilson's testimony says he felt like a child trying to attack Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he said a five-year-old.
A five-year-old trying to attack Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, you could feel how immensely strong he was.
That, this guy was not, he was what, 6'6", Larry, or 6'8", something like that.
Yeah.
Huge guy.
He's like an offensive lineman.
Right, and if you look at Darren Wilson, not the biggest guy around.
No, actually, he's about 6'4".
Is he?
Yeah.
In comparison,
he's still small compared to this guy.
But, the guy was physically assaulted. Now, I've heard some people say, well, I didn't see any broken bones. I didn't see any stitches. Guess what? It doesn't have to be stitches and broken bones. Somebody right. punches you in the face, that's assault. See, that's the other thing, Judo Larian.
Well, they don't care about facts.
There's so many people that want to gloss over the fact that this kid was a criminal. He's on tape assaulting and robbing a store owner.
Yeah.
And that he punched and assaulted a police officer. Why do people just ignore that in this whole case? Why do people ignore the fact? Like, all you want, all the media shows you is a picture of him with his graduation cap on from right. years ago.
Yeah.
They don't show you all the pictures that they have possession of him pointing a gun at the camera, dressing like a thug, right. acting like a thug.
They keep using the same photo of him sitting in like an airport or a train station with exactly a baseball cap yeah. on and the headphones.
It's exactly the same thing right. as in with the Trayvon Martin case. It's yeah. like, why don't you show what he was a week ago instead of 10 years ago?
Right.
Doesn't that seem to be more germane to the situation?
Right.
So anyway, so the grand jury was able to see all this evidence, and they came to the conclusion that there was no reason to indict Officer Wilson. Now, I'm not even going to talk about, like, Mike Brown's mother. You know, I excuse her because she's a mom. She lost her kid. I expect her not to make sense and to scream and rail and cry. And I expect that. I'm not going to sit here and deny her her right to mourning and to anger.
So she's in pain.
She's in pain. I get that.
Okay.
But the people around her, like when you watched the news coverage of people saying justice for Michael Brown while they throw a brick through a liquor store window, and you see them running off with jugs of vodka. Yeah. And Larry, you and I were watching TV. We saw the one hilarious. I mean, it was hilarious in but the one guy who stole a bottle of vodka and a bottle of orange juice, so apparently he could have some screwdrivers while looting.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he had three bottles of like Grey Goose and some OJ, and I was like,
well, man, we're going to have us a party and shit.
Screwdrivers, man, because we screwed the system.
For real.
But anyway, but that's what I'm trying to get at. Then they broke into a McDonald's. Then they broke into,
the Food Mart.
The Food Mart store. They burned down the AutoZone. They must have turned over a couple of cop cars and set them on fire.
Yeah, so last night somebody threw a Molotov cocktail.
How is this justice? How is this getting you justice? What you don't understand is that nobody looks at this. Nobody. Oh, let me take that back. Most civilized people don't look at this and say you're advancing the cause of anything.
Yeah, in fact, they're probably setting race relations back
a couple of
decades.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, all those savages, that's all you are, savages. And that's all people see is savagery. That's all they see.
Yeah.
Like
And you know what? Let's put this out there. It's really unfair to people who actually were protesting peacefully.
Yes.
There were people who were just there. Look, they had their signs. They chanted. Maybe they're moronically taunting the cops, but not being violent.
Exactly.
In fact, one woman who was part of the peaceful protest got hit with a brick in the head because somebody threw it and hit her in the head. I was like, what cause are you advancing?
Exactly.
Add to the fact, and this is something which I mentioned one time before on the show because I'm aware of radical groups in this country. Right. It's kind of a fascination of mine. You know, the people from the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA, showed up, and their only reason for being there is agitation.
Of course.
All they want to do is fight with the cops because, and I'm not kidding, these crazy radical left-wing groups, here's what they do.
Right.
They go from incident to incident. As soon as something blows up, they just go. They stop whatever they're doing, they go. And they immediately, they play the same tune, racist, fascist, you know, crazy. And all they want to do, because they want to tear down the system, is just cause fights and destroy businesses.
Right.
And, you know, and they, I'm not kidding, they film it and they go like, here we are on the front lines with the war against like the capitalist police.
Right.
And these people, and they don't care about Ferguson. They don't care about Mike Brown and his family. They don't care. It's an excuse to just have anarchy and to destroy things.
Right. And you know, it's, I'm not going to sit here and exonerate the police and the politicians in Missouri, St. Louis, and Ferguson, okay?
I'm going to exonerate the police. I don't think they did anything
wrong. Well, let me also, like, just say this. Oops. I don't know what's going on here, Judah Larian.
Well, we're a rock and roll show.
Oh, my smartphone just went off. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at is that what we have to understand, when I say I don't exonerate the police, I don't exonerate them as a department because I think they handled the whole situation wrong. And I think they could have, like, mitigated a lot of the anger initially. Like, for example, I was listening to a New York City cop say, in New York, you wouldn't have let that kid's body sit in the street for 4 hours.
Yeah, no, that's a mess.
You know, they wouldn't have left it open to the public. They would have somehow covered him up.
No,
they
understand. I thought when you said exonerate, I thought you meant with pertains to the, riots the past two nights. No, you're absolutely right. Leaving his body just lying, that is just...
That's horrible.
So obnoxious and so horrible.
The way
it plays to the narrative that
you don't care
about black lives.
Exactly. You know, and the whole thing about the militarization aspect, the moving in with armored vehicles and assault weapons and shit like that, that also was heavy-handed, in my opinion. That was just throwing fuel on fire.
That comes across as we're here with like a really heavy hand, strong military.
Right.
I mean, that's what I expect like Israel to do to Hamas.
And vice versa.
Who recently killed some people over there in like an Israeli school or something. This is an American city, and I understand it's a poor black neighborhood, and maybe there's violence and danger and blah, 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 but that's absolutely the wrong message and wrong response.
Right, so the police there, I think, did not handle this correctly in the aftermath. I think the politicians were just stupid in the way they handled things. Like, for example, Larry, we were talking about this. Why did they have the decision of the grand jury like in the morning, and they waited till 9 o'clock at night to announce it?
I have no idea.
Like, what was the thinking of doing it at night?
The only thing I can think of is if they were afraid if they announced it right away, it would give everybody time to hit the streets and organize and go crazy, and not realizing that you can do that at 10 o'clock at night anyway.
Yeah, and actually, more people are likely to do it at night because they think they won't be identified. So I don't understand that whole reasoning, to be honest with you. I think the governor or the mayor? The governor mobilizing the National Guard like 6 to 7 hours or a day ahead of the announcement was just telling people what the announcement was going to be. And they made people angry.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think surrounding the case, I'm not exonerating the politicians and the cops in this case, because I think everything was handled wrong in terms of the aftermath. In terms of whether Officer Wilson, I now, you know, when you look at the evidence and when you look at what happened, there's no doubt in my mind he acted appropriately. Like, right. I've also heard people say, well, should kids be shot for stealing cigars? No, they shouldn't.
No.
They shouldn't. But you
but
know
he wasn't,
what?
He wasn't shot for stealing cigars.
No, he was shot for attacking a police officer.
He attacked a police officer who feared for his safety.
Yeah.
So you know what the moral of the story is? Even if you are just fresh off of stealing something, don't attack the police officer.
Don't try to grab their gun.
Don't punch him and don't try to take his gun like an arrogant bastard and thinking, oh, I can do this and get away with it. And of course, if he did, then you got a completely different story. Maybe he takes the gun from the cop and shoots the cop.
Right, of
which,
course.
Of course, the same people who are complaining now, they wouldn't complain about that.
No, of course
not. In fact,
not.
They'd probably blame the cop.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to get at. It's like if you're on the so-called, and I'm using what, Judo Larriam?
The famous air quotes.
Right. If you're a protester about this, protest about the right things. You know what I mean? It's like protest about the things that I think you should protest about, like the botched handling of the police, the botched handling of the politicians, the militarization of the police, all that shit, protest about it.
That's legitimate.
Fuck. Even if you want to protest about this kid being shot, that fair enough. I like, again, I don't believe in censorship. So if you feel like protesting, protest. Make your signs. March in the streets. Sing all the chants you want. But the second you start, like, did you know how biblical it was? It was like a Ferguson Passover this week. Did you notice, like, store owners putting signs outside their boarded up window saying this is a black owned business, sort of like what the Jews did in Egypt so that the locusts and the angel of death would pass over their homes, you know?
Except the locusts don't care. So,
yeah, except the savages in this care didn't give a shit if it was a black owned business or not. They burned it down anyway.
They burned it down anyway because at the end of the day, they were looking, there's a certain percentage of the people in Ferguson, whether they're from Ferguson or outside, who are just looking to cause trouble. They just want to loot and steal things,
right?
Just like the first time out. And the police are, I would fault them only in the sense that, you know, when the first one to shoot in it, they had the riots, and that was back
in
August.
Right, right.
And then it calmed down now while this process has been going on September, October, now into November. But now you have the grand jury verdict on it, and, you know, and you've got these, like, to me, you should have been prepared for this. This is the same thing Giuliani said the other day. You should have been prepared for this. You had a couple of months. You knew that something was coming. You have to prepare for it. And the business owners, I realize it's obnoxious and they have to put money into it, but you got to do better than just putting some wooden boards up front and say, you know, like you have to say to yourself, like, wow, they're going to have that decision in a day or two. I got to lock up. I got to take my inventory out. I got to get one of those iron. You have to do something more. I know that's terrible for them. They should just be able to run their business. But that's not reality. The reality is that you have to realize that there's going to be, even like, let me tell you something, even if they had decided to go forward with it, I still think there's a certain amount of people would have taken to the streets. If for no other reason, just to celebrate.
Right.
Wilson got, you know, the grand jury decided to go forward.
Right.
And then you've got another reason to take to the streets and run around. Because you have to realize the people doing that really don't care about Michael Brown. Some of them.
And that's the other thing, too. It's like, did you see some of those stories in the aftermath of black business? Not that it makes a difference if you're a black or white business owner in Ferguson. It's just wrong to have your business assaulted for no reason, right? But did you see some of those poor black business owners in Ferguson who are trying to make something out of their lives, sitting there with their stores destroyed, their inventory stolen, and then you find out like insurance doesn't cover it? Because it's like civil disorder, and a lot of insurance policies in those cases disavow, you know, acts of God, civil disobedience, war, shit like that.
It doesn't fall under burglary and or like a storm or like something that might actually be covered under the policy.
So they get fucked over twice. They get fucked over because their store was destroyed, and then they get fucked over because these scumbag insurance companies don't cover those situations.
Right.
So now they're fucked twice. And now what have you done to your community? If you're somebody in Ferguson, what have you accomplished in your community? So if you're worried about your community, let's assume the cops are racist. Let's assume the cops are heavy-handed. What have you accomplished in that regard for your community?
By destroying the few businesses that there are.
And acting like savage animals, okay? What have you accomplished? You are now inviting a heavier police presence.
Right.
So if you thought the cops were assholes to begin with, now what have you done?
Right. And and who's going to want to run a business there in the future?
Now,
even if they rebuild or they, I mean, I'm sure a few of them will, but it, you know what? If you're like the guy at the Goodyear or you're running a McDonald's
or that liquor store,
why would you want to do that?
Well, that was my point. Economically, what have you done for your... Like you can't you can't even argue that you drove out white devils and interlopers. You can't even make that argument.
No.
What you've done is now you've destroyed your town economically.
Right.
Or set it back economically. Yep. So what have you accomplished? That's always been my question in any of these situations. What have you accomplished? Like, what is your end game? It's like those Occupy Wall Street assholes. What's your end game?
Right.
What are you planning on?
Exactly. They're just upset about the system.
Exactly.
Now, that's nice, but okay, fine. That's the way you feel. Capitalism doesn't work for you? Okay. But what's the alternative? What, socialism? I mean, that's the big, those are the biggest fucking failures in world history.
Like, if you want to
what's the end game? Exactly what John said.
Well, if you want to make a difference, let me make a suggestion to you. Why don't more African Americans apply to become police officers in Ferguson?
Right.
Why don't we see that? You keep saying there's too many white cops. Why don't you start a concerted effort to make the police force look like the community? That fucking phrase I hear over and over again.
Yeah.
Why aren't there more black cops? Unless you're claiming that there are all these black applicants for cop positions that got turned down because of racist police commissioners. Like, unless that's your story, which I haven't heard anybody say, why isn't that the case?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And you know what the bigger picture in all this is? Because every time something like this happens, I'm not going to use the Trayvon Martin thing because that's a little different. Because in the sense that he really wasn't doing anything, like Michael Brown is fresh off stealing.
Right, right.
Trayvon Martin was just walking down the street, and Mr. Zimmerman was not a cop. He was just some asshole doing neighborhood watch.
Right.
So that's a little different. But sometimes, like Eleanor Bumpers, that happened here in New York, like 20 years ago, and she attacked some cops who came into her house. Like with a machete, and they shot her. Every time a black man is killed, you know, and if it's by law enforcement, the first thing that I think is terrible, which Giuliani pointed out the other day, they immediately ignore the fact that 93% of blacks in this country right now are killed by other blacks. So now you've got blacks are killed in this country disproportionately by other blacks. So you've got 7% are killed by other. And the amount of people who are killed by blacks who are killed by cops, and in particular white cops, is less than 1%. So first off, you're focusing on that and you're freaking out about that. So first off, the logic of that just escapes me entirely.
Right.
But the bigger picture, which just it continues to be, is look, right now, let's face it, you've got 83% illegitimacy in the black community. The fathers are not there. fathers have to raise their sons. At a certain point, a young man grows beyond the point of a woman can control him.
Right.
And tell him that's a father's job. And if you have no fathers, and look, let's face it, even though I know that a lot of liberals with their programs and public, I know they meant well, but that way of handling things, that formula is a failure.
Failed.
That's a failure at this point. And you've got bad schools, you've got no fathers, and what that invariably means is you're going to have a certain percentage of your male population in the community is just going to fall through the cracks. They're just going to fall through the cracks. Like, what do they have for the future? Yeah. And then when they fall through the cracks, well, unfortunately, the police are going to be there because that's their job.
Right.
So what you've got is you've got an entire just lifestyle, just a cycle that goes on. And as they continue to get in trouble with the law, everyone's just blaming the police. And that is like the stupidest thing in the world. Even Obama's been in office for 6 years. What has he done to improve? Because this was definitely one of the arguments that were made back in 2007, 2008 when he was running. What has he done to improve their lives or to make a difference in the life of the average young
black guy?
Or
just the perception of race relations too. So you're right. I mean, to your point, the fathers aren't there. And then the black men in the community, what is it now? 50% of the jail population is black?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or 50% of black men of certain age are in jail?
I've been in trouble with the law at one time or another.
And I mean, listen, for all the liberals crying about shit and whatever, privilege and all that, you can't ignore the numbers. You can't ignore, as Larry said, 93% of black homicides, meaning homicides of black people are committed by other black people. You can't ignore that. You right. can't ignore that in terms of any other ethnic group in this country, African Americans commit disproportionately the highest number of violent crimes. Okay?
Yeah.
You can't avoid that. And I think part of the problem is, why don't you admit that? And some black quote-unquote leaders do admit that this is the issue. And that, why, to your point, why are you focusing on the less than 1% of cops, even if you assume that all of them are racist, which is not the case. But let's assume that all of them are racist. You're focusing on a 1% issue as opposed to the 93% issue. Why don't you fix that issue first? You know, like someone said that, he goes, when you see any other ethnic group go through this situation, white, Asian, Latino, when's the last time you saw Latinos riot? When's the last time you saw Asians riot? When's the last time you saw Asian. Italians, Greeks, whites in general riot? Someone made a joke. A comedian made a joke, and I mean, there's some truth behind it. He goes, you know, OJ murdered two white people and got off. Did you see any? Let's burn down Beverly Hills.
Right.
Let's burn Beverly Hills, bitch.
Yeah, but that's absolutely correct. But what I don't understand about this thinking, and I watched this college, some university professor, while he was debating Giuliani the other day, I forget his name. It's that idiot who talks like at warp speed, but he doesn't say anything. I'm listening to this guy, and the 93% like meant nothing to him. He kept harping on about it. He goes, you don't realize what it does to be shot by like a police officer. I was like, what, are you out of your fucking mind? Look, I assume most people in a group are probably killed by other members of their group. The majority.
You
like,
think so?
I do. Actually, I've heard that somewhere, that the majority of like each group are killed, not 93% necessarily,
right.
But most people, most Irish, Italian, are killed by other members of their group for the most part. That may be true.
All right.
I heard that somewhere. That may or may not be true. I think that's true.
Yeah, I don't know, but okay.
But you know what? Let me put it to you this way. All right, I'm Italian-American. If you told me that 93% of my ethnic group were killing just each other, I don't even I don't even care what the other 7% are. Okay, I don't care. We got to get to work on that 93%. That's an insane number. I don't care if the other 7% are all killed by cops. I don't care if they're killed by the FBI. I don't care if they're killed by osmosis. This is ridiculous. 93% is insane.
Absolutely, and that's the point. Why aren't you addressing the thing you can address? If you're a black pastor, a black politician, or just like a black father in this country, why isn't that the first thing you talk about? Even if you talk about it from a racial supremacy point of view, you know, like, not to sound crazy, but even from a Black Panther or a black Muslim or, you know, the people who say you got to stop doing this to ourselves. Like, I would even respect at some point the people who say we got to go against the white man, not against each other. At least that makes sense to me in some bizarre way. You know what I mean, Larry?
Sure.
It's like, the senseless violence in your own neighborhood is something that has always escaped me. And I grew up in the Bronx, ladies and gentlemen. I grew up in rough neighborhoods, the Bronx, Washington Heights. If you're from New York, you kind of know these areas, and you kind of know these were not genteel areas. You know what I mean? And growing up, I never understood why people would graffiti their own buildings. Sometimes I'd see some people open up their windows of their apartments on the third or fourth floor, and just empty their garbage out the window. Like, really? You couldn't walk it over to the garbage chute? You couldn't put it in a hefty bag and walk it to the trash can? Mm-hmm. Like, you really had to throw it out the fucking window? How does that improve your life? And then you sit back and bitch that the white man or the Irishman or whoever in New York aren't taking care of you. Take care of yourself.
You know what? That's a very good point, because I remember, this goes back like 20-something years ago, but I remember they showed something on the news once about like race relations in New York City. I think it was like the third term of Ed Koch. I was watching on the news. I always remember this. And they showed footage, like different neighbors, and they showed this old black woman like throwing garbage out her window. And the reporter like stopped her as part of this like two-part right. series. And they said, like, look, we have footage of you like just dumping your garbage out the window. She goes, well, that's the sanitation department's job. And I was like,
yeah, right. Just like, it's the stupid mentality that it's not your fault. Nothing is ever your fault. In other words, I would like one person in Ferguson to say, even if they said, you know what, that cop is racist and he shot that boy. But I would also like someone to acknowledge that, you know what, maybe he shouldn't have been robbing that store. And maybe if a cop told him to get out of the street, maybe his first reaction shouldn't be to punch him in the face and try to take his gun. Why don't we start with that?
Right.
Why don't you at least come to the conclusion that those are two things that you shouldn't be doing?
Yeah.
Even if you don't deserve to be shot for them, those are two things you shouldn't be doing. Like, Larry, I don't know, have you seen this old viral clip from the Chris Rock show, the old Chris Rock show, where he goes, how to avoid getting beat up by the police?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I mean, it's hilarious.
It's very funny.
But it's also very insightful, where he says, like, don't do drugs. Don't yell at cops. Don't play fuck the police when being pulled over by the police.
And have a white friend.
Yeah, have a white friend with you. Don't have outstanding warrants. Don't do drugs. Don't sell drugs. Don't carry a gun. Don't, you know, like, I mean, don't have a crazy woman claim that you have weed on you. You know, it's like, it was funny, but there's also a strain of some sort of truth to that, which is like, not everything is a confrontation. You have to learn to stop being angry.
Yeah. Angry and belligerent will just get you nowhere.
Yeah.
That's just going to precipitate violence.
I'm not telling you to be a pussy, for God's sake. You should get angry about certain things.
Yeah, and you don't have to necessarily take shit maybe from a cop.
Right.
Being really like unprofessional.
An asshole.
Yeah, that's fine. Actually, I told this once on the show. I had an incident with a cop right around the World Trade Center, and he was just being a total douche. And I had to get loud and everything. And like after like 30, 40, it went very quickly. But after he goes like, get the fuck out of here. And I was like, yeah. And like, I understand. You know, I also understand they have a very tough job and they deal with a lot of dangerous people all day long. But look, you know, I have seen many times just the hair trigger response. Young black guys, you know, just angry and
violent
and vulgar. That's just a loser. That's no way to go through life. It's nothing to brag about. It's nothing to be feeling good about. That's not the way to go. It's just not. Even if it feels right to you, it's not the way to go.
You don't want
to
be a thug. Let's assume that all cops are racist. Let's assume that all cops want to kill and maim black people. I don't believe that in my heart, but let's assume it's true for the moment. Let's assume it's true. Why are you giving them an excuse to shoot you? That's the other thing.
Yeah, right.
Why are you giving them an excuse? Like, listen, I've had my run-ins with cops. I've had cops that I think, you know, did illegal searches of my vehicle that you know, patted me down for no reason on occasion just because I happened to be at a protest. But guess what? My first reaction wasn't to take their gun. My first reaction was, officer, this is illegal what you're doing. And if he told me to shut the fuck up, and I see his hand over his holster, guess what I do? I shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because it's more important for me to be alive to feed my family the next day.
Than to get in the face of just some asshole cop.
Right. Than to get into the face of some flatfoot that doesn't give a fuck about the Constitution and would be more than happy to shoot you in the head and then plant a gun on you.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not naive. For all of you listening, I'm not so naive to think that shit doesn't happen. It happens. Okay, and just the last week there was a video of some cop doing almost that with some white kids, and where like he was like you know, threatening them and telling them to shut up. And if they didn't shut up, he would make up charges against them. And he was like breaking the headlights of their cars and shit, to, you know, and yeah. somebody caught it on tape. Okay. Yeah. The, what I'm trying to get at is I'm not denying that that shit happens. But what you have to understand is that your first reaction should not be violence in that situation. You're not going to win.
Vulgar and violence is a losing formula.
All right. Now,
that's it.
One of our libertarian friends on Twitter, Julie Borowski, says, you know, she's a big advocate. I've seen her on Twitter this week advocating body cameras for all cops, that they just have a camera on them that's on 24/7.
Right.
And then all this shit gets taped. Right. Yeah. Now, the only libertarian thing that I might have to say about that is, what if you don't want to be taped as a citizen? Do you have that right? Do you have the right to tell the cop to turn the camera off?
Well,
that's a different issue.
Well, that's a different issue. Actually, Geraldo Rivera was pushing that the other night on Fox. And Bo Deedle, that famous New York
right,
cop,
detective,
and Sean Hannity, I was watching, they agreed with him. They said that's a very good idea. The only problem with it, of course, is you look at guys like Al Sharpton. Look at his mentality.
Right.
Okay? You could have a cop with a body camera, films an entire incident. If it shows, like, let's say a black kid doing something wrong, but they're going to claim that the tape was doctored. They're going to claim it was edited. They're going to claim that it's a fake. It's a forgery. Trust me. You have to realize there is a mentality here, usually on the far left, that
right.
they will not accept.
Anything.
Like, for instance, like even in this case, they don't care what the facts are. They don't care if this guy attacked officer. Was it? They don't care.
Right.
All they care about is he's white. He's a cop.
Right.
This guy's black, and he's a young kid, and he killed him. That's it. That's
right.
the world that they live in, and that
right.
to them
right.
is racial injustice.
Exactly.
That's it. That's all they care about. The facts, they don't care. I mean, look at the people who already, some of them, like in the Sharpton crowd and those people, look at these people already saying that the footage of him stealing the cigars is totally irrelevant to the shooting, and it's just put out there to slander him.
Right, but at least the tape is there. Do you know what I mean? Like, you always have lunatics, but the
yeah.
tape is there. And maybe body cameras are a response, right? And if you don't want to be taped, you kind of take your life in your own hands. You know what I mean? Like, if you tell the cop, turn off the camera, I don't wish to be videotaped, then,
well,
you know, if anything happens, that's on you. You know what I mean? I don't know what to say.
Well, I would disagree. I don't think that's relevant. I mean, if you don't want to be taped, then too bad. All right, this would be a good step in just, you know, and for the police, too. Because, like, in a case like this, it would probably corroborate Officer Wilson's
story. What he had to say. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, maybe that's a solution. I don't know.
And if you had footage of it, it's better than having to go by eyewitnesses, which
right.
eyewitness accounts are very unreliable.
Of course. We all know that the worst evidence is the one that comes from an eyewitness testimony.
Because
yeah,
everybody puts their own twist on it.
Yeah, and
you
even honest people remember things differently.
Oh, I saw it. It was a dark blue car. Oh, no. It was black.
Right.
Oh, well, it had two doors. No, actually it had four doors.
Right, right.
You know, there was something wrong with the trunk, and it was tied together with a
right,
string.
Right.
No, it wasn't. Like,
right.
People just, you know, that's
yeah.
eyewitness account, even from people who mean well, especially when you see something, it takes longer to talk about it than to see it. If you see something that takes 2 or 3 seconds, you could get
exactly.
confused on it.
Exactly. So the whole Ferguson thing, again, you know, I just want to say, I think now before we finish, Judalarium, I will say the one thing that is very peculiar in this case, and I will admit this, is most grand juries, you know that old saying, you can indict a ham sandwich
right.
with a grand jury.
Right.
It is strange to me that they at least didn't come back with an indictment for the purposes of having this go to trial. I read a statistic that says out of 160,000 grand juries this
right,
year,
right.
only 11
got rejected.
Got no
that.
Indictment.
Yeah, that's from 2010.
Okay.
The last year that they actually have records. It was 162,000 and only 11 got rejected.
So I do admit that is suspicious, you know, and that
yeah.
If I was the prosecutor, maybe I would have let the indictment go through, or would have pushed for an indictment and
but
then had the guy get exonerated in trial.
He didn't push for it. There's no doubt. If you watch his press,
he didn't want to do it. Yeah,
he didn't want to do it. He really thinks the cop didn't do anything wrong, and he didn't want to see him get indicted. He didn't push the way prosecutors normally do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I will say but I think that's less of a racial issue and more of a cop issue. Do you know what I mean? I think it's that famous blue wall of silence or solidarity, whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's because the cop was white. I think it's because a cop was involved. You know, I don't think there's a racial issue here. I think that it's a cop non-cop issue. But I will be the first to admit, or among the first to admit, that is very strange and it looks bad. Even if it was totally innocent, and again, I don't know if it was or not, but even if it was totally an innocent decision on the prosecutor's part, it's bad. It looks bad. It looks like you're covering something up. And it also helps explain why he released all the evidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think he released the evidence, which, again, is also very rare. Like, I'm sure it doesn't happen.
I'm sure these people don't want to be outed or be very much in the public eye. But I actually, you know what? Of the 12 people who are on the grand jury, I'd like to hear what the three African-Americans have to say.
Right.
Not so much that, you know, that's any better or worse than the white people's opinion. But if you had three African-Americans, and they agreed, there's just nothing to convict on here.
Right.
I'd like to hear what their thoughts were on it.
It would be interesting.
It would. Actually, I think it would shed a lot of light on it, and it may get some credibility and traction with the idiots rioting and protesting.
And I also think it has a lot to do with why the guy released the evidence. I think it's sort of like, here, look at everything they heard, you know, and that they saw. So there's nothing being hidden. In that sense, I think the transparency is good. But I also think it's an excuse for not pushing for the indictment, which, again, we said, 11 out of 162,000, that's like statistically zero. You know what I mean?
It's terrible. It's like your chances of winning the lottery.
Even less. Yeah. You know what I mean? But that to me, so, I mean, I'll give the legitimate protesters something with that, which is like, you would have at least expected an indictment on manslaughter or, you know, negligent something, you know, something to take him to trial on. Because even though I think the guy didn't do anything wrong, meaning Officer Wilson, I think there's at least enough there for someone to say, let's dig into the evidence.
Right.
And I heard a lawyer say on one of the talk shows that, you know, typically grand juries don't get all this evidence. That's like trial evidence.
Yeah.
But the prosecutor gave everything he had. That's why it took so many months for the grand jury to convene, you know, and finish their deliberation, is because the guy threw more evidence than is typically, you know, shown
to a grand jury. But of course, you realize Officer Wilson is not out of the woods. Yeah, because now Holder's looking at it.
Well, yeah, now they're looking at civil rights violations
and
shit like that.
That's harder to prove.
It's harder to prove, and it's harder to bring him even forward on that. And I read another lawyer who said he probably won't even be brought up on civil rights charges. You know, there's a certain amount of discretion. Oh, and by the way, you know, just as a total aside, Judah Larry M., why are people who thought that discretion on the part of Obama to, like, legalize 11 million illegal aliens is okay?
5 million.
5 million is okay, but a prosecutor's discretion not to charge what he thinks is an innocent man is somehow wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny how things work that way, right?
Yes, apparently the emperor can do whatever he wants. Douche. Can he pass an executive order saying you can't destroy businesses and loot?
I mean, I will give him credit. He did make a television appearance to say, please, let's be calm and peaceful and whatever ahead of the decision.
But then he boned it up, because the next day he said, when they asked him about further charges and what's going on, he goes, well, it's not my place as president to speak on these issues and to interfere with him. And I was like, oh, you couldn't keep your mouth shut during Trayvon Martin's situation. You couldn't keep your mouth shut when your college professor in Cambridge got arrested. He has spoken about them before.
Right.
And now he's back. See, that's the thing. Like, yeah, he fumbled it. Like, after, you're absolutely right.
Consistent, yeah.
Absolutely. When he first came out, he called for calm and said, we have to accept the grand juries. That was the right thing to say. I don't think he enjoyed saying it. That was the right thing to say. But now he boned it up because he had to go out and say, oh, well, it's not my place to step in and talk about. He said, you've been doing it all along, you jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but anyway,
an ugly situation, and it's only going to get worse. But I want to reiterate, I said before, look, and again, it's not an excuse, but it's just a fact. You've got a percentage, and a pretty large percentage, of the black youth in this country, the families, shit, public schools and their education, shit, and they feel just totally, like, left out.
Yeah.
Of, like, the America that they see on television. And the reason this matters to you, let me tell you something, I don't care if you're in the Klan. The reason this matters to you is because these situations are only going to keep happening. You're going to have more interactions. It's more just get in trouble with the law, fall through the cracks, call it whatever you want. they're just going to be more breaking the law, going to jail, and you know that's it's not even good for the country. Even if you don't, even if you think the blacks are assholes, even if you're at home going fuck them, like okay, you know what? The problem is you can't do that. All right, it's too much of a percentage of the population just going to continue to get in trouble. They're going to continue to be shootings, and there'll be protests and riot and looting and insanity. You know, whether it's Rodney King, whatever. You know, at a certain point, you have to realize you're saying there's a certain percentage of our population we're just pissing away. Goodbye. You know, you can't do that. You can't. It's like, you know, just like you can't ignore homelessness. You can't ignore any problem like that. You can't have a percentage of society you just don't give a shit about, because it's going to eventually bite you in the ass. Somebody has got to figure out how we get their families stronger, how we get them to be fathers and take care of their families, right, and give them better education and better economic opportunities. And to give opportunities to people, and maybe teach them how to be entrepreneurs. We have to have a new approach, and you can't just let them go. And the liberal approach of programs and things like that's a failure. I know they meant well doing all that shit, but it's a failure. It hasn't worked.
Hey, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, yeah,
When Lyndon Johnson started the Great Society, since then, we've spent $15 trillion. That's a statistic I read on the war on poverty. Here, your air quotes.
Yeah.
War on poverty. And the poverty level has gone down 2% since then. That's not much of a return on your investment. So
right.
Somebody's got to come up with an entirely new strategy.
I have one.
Something to help out this segment of society that's being left behind.
I have one. It's called the free market. It's worked for every other group in this country. Free opportunity. Get away from the cycle of dependency and poverty, ladies and gentlemen. That'll be my closing libertarian statement. You know what keeps people trapped in poverty? Government programs, minimum wages, job requirements, burdensome taxes, horrible public school education that's being run by the federal government and the Department of Education.
I'm going to tell you right now, the lack of family structure and the lack of education, those are just... Forget expressions like two strikes against you. That's not only strike three, it's strike 6, 9, and 12. Let me tell you, you know that conservative black guy Thomas Sowell?
Oh, of course.
He wrote a book called Ethnic America.
Yep.
I read this years ago. Here, and let me tell you, this is like 20 years, whatever he wrote it. Still relevant today. He does this, it's on a page. It just shows every like group in this country. The people at the top of the group economically, like Jews, Japanese, some other waspy like and groups, and he chronicled, look at the family structure, look at the money, look at the commitment to education, blah, blah, blah. The people at the bottom of the ladder, blacks, Chicanos, and American Indians. All right, now I understand none of these people are white, and people on the left will focus on that, but the fact is, poor family structure, lack of education, lack of opportunities, you're going to just be at the bottom. And
it's not good
for the country.
Sowell also makes the point that at the turn of the 20th century, the black family was much stronger and much more prosperous.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately after slavery, almost.
And after World War II.
Than they are now. And he says the one major difference is that now, or since Lyndon Johnson, they've been the focus of government handouts and government programs. That is the problem. And you to do it, you have to stop the cycle of dependency, and that's how you break the poverty. But Judo Lariam, you know what? I think we have to end the show right now.
Okay.
I think it's getting to be that point where we have other commitments this week. This is a Wednesday show, which is a rarity for us, and I think the weather outside is getting pretty shitty. So we have to play that. So, but anyway, we did get out our opinions on Ferguson, which was the main thing. We also wanted to mention immigration very quickly. Horrible decision by the president, obviously.
Yeah. Obviously, no intentions of working with the Republicans.
Exactly, zero.
And he did something which was clearly unconstitutional and outside of his powers. And I think also, talk about baiting people. I think he was trying to get the Republicans, especially the Tea Party people, to freak out and call them names. And I think it's a terribly unconstitutional thing that he's done. And I think it's a cynical ploy on his part, because he's been there for 6 years and he's done nothing.
Right.
I think this is a cynical ploy on his part to appeal to Hispanics, who are a growing portion of the U.S. society, and just trying to lock them into voting for Democrats.
Exactly. That's exactly it. He just authorized 5 million new Democratic voters for 2016. All right. Let's end the show on this. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Join us again next week. Until then, this is your host, Big Fat John.
And Jude Ilarium.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Jude Ilarium. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and I'm not wearing any pants.